Dion Miller from ESPN 1000 and ABC 7 is here with me. Hoodie's back tomorrow from his vacation. He was in the Indiana Dunes for his anniversary. I don't know why you'd go there on vacation, but that's what he chose.
Well,
to do.
He will be here tomorrow to explain himself.
It said it was a cool bed and breakfast. I'm like, what are you looking at? Like the U.S. steel plant? Like,
no, the dunes are beautiful.
They are?
Yeah. Indiana dunes are pretty.
Never been.
Yeah.
Never been.
I have some friends who have a house there. They go like every weekend. They love it.
So, really?
Yeah.
There you go.
No, there you go.
Ben Knight asked a good question. Cap, Dion, shot or no shot, we have two Pro Bowl safeties. They're not both going to the Pro Bowl this year, but eventually, could Eddie and Jaquan Brisker? Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Mm-hmm. I don't think this year, because the defense is not going to be very good.
So. No, it's not very good right now.
Let's go back to the phones, 312-332-3776. You'll hear from Justin and Matt Eberflus in a moment. Brandon's in Mount Greenwood. Hey, Brandon, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I love the show.
Thanks.
A longtime caller. I just want to put my input real quick. You know, I've been noticing lately, I know we're making a lot of offensive moves, which we need. I'm happy with the Chase Claypool pickup. I love Justin. I think that we're building around him great. My only concern is, I mean, we, you know, if you think about it, Cap, we've been putting up a lot of offensive points, like a lot. It seems to be that we're giving up a lot of points, too, which is why we're losing a lot of these games. Do you think that at any point we're going to start working on this defense or maybe get some draft guys over this draft? Or because, I mean, we can't forget about our defense here, you know?
Yeah, look, they're going to continue to be in the talent acquisition mode, period. Mm-hmm. That's it. And so if they're picking at number 4, do they trade back? They're probably not going to take a quarterback. So do you take the best tackle? The kid from Northwestern, I just saw a projection where he's going to be in the top 3 picks. Skoranek.
Yeah.
Peter, I think his name is.
So, Skoranek, yeah, that sounds right.
So do you take the best tackle? Do you take a wide receiver? Or do you simply go, who's the best guy on the board? Or do we trade back, get multiple number 1 picks to move up there, and then get the, a player that you want?
That makes sense.
That's the question. Thanks for your call, Brandon. Appreciate it. That perfect scenario for me is that the top of the draft is like it was in 20. You've got Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, 5 first-round quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, I got to have that guy. Like San Francisco gave up 2 number ones plus an exchange of their number one for the 3rd overall pick.
Yeah.
Well, imagine if the Bears all of a sudden turn 1 first-round pick into 3.
That'd be huge.
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 3 number one picks in your draft.
Can you imagine?
And you hit on all 3? That's how you turn a team around.
The odds of that are slim to hit on all 3, but you have to have the opportunity. You got to be there first.
Correct.
Before you can make those decisions.
Correct. Back to the phone.
Peter Skoronski. That's
Is it Skoronski?
I think it's Skoronski.
Skoronski. Skoronek is in it, with the Rams.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he's a Northwestern kid, yeah. Too, I think, right?
I did hear a rumor that Northwestern's a 38-point underdog this week at home.
It's not a rumor, and I think it's 38.5.
Is it 38 in the hook, huh?
Thank God we can't bet that game.
O-H-I-O.
Wow.
Wow.
That's brutal.
That is brutal.
I love Fitz, but...
I love Fitz.
I just hope they don't get
so much. This is
ever living. You know what?
They're still jet-lagged from Ireland. They haven't won a game on American soil. They're just jet-lagged.
Is that... They haven't won since?
No, they haven't. Heavy thoughts and prayers to the Wildcats this week.
Right.
With the Buckeyes coming to town. Just saying.
Wow.
Wow.
So I'll be watching a lot of horse racing this weekend because it's the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
So Saturday, Shea will be locked in all the college football. I'll watch Georgia-Tennessee. That's a good game. Is there anything else on the docket that you go, you got to watch?
Auburn-LSU.
Oh, that's a good game.
That's a crappy
game. Alabama-LSU. I'm sorry.
Alabama-LSU. Yeah, that's a good game.
I probably will dial in, but I'm going to be watching the Breeders' Cup. I will go race to race.
Good for you, man. Enjoy it.
So, yeah.
It's one of the best weekends of the year.
I'll be watching Michigan State at Illinois. See if the Illini can win again.
That's a good one.
May God have mercy on your soul, Dion, watching that game.
I am going to watch that
game. What's the line on that game? Let me see.
16 and a half.
I was about to say 17.
I'm looking at 17. But
oh, is it up to 17 now?
That's what it says on ESPN.
Take the points.
I would not. I would not. Michigan State's got 7 players suspended now. I don't think I would take the points.
I think Illinois wins.
I think Illinois wins, too.
I interviewed one of their kids yesterday, an offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Alex Palcheski.
Okay.
He's if they play in the Big Ten title game, so they have to do that in a bowl game, and he stays healthy, knock on wood, he will have started more games than anyone in the history of college football.
For real?
For real.
Because of the COVID year and stuff?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You know who's amazing? Chase Brown.
Yes. Big time.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. But this kid, Alex Palcheski from Prospect High School.
Oh, cool.
He was an awesome interview.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Loved
That's
him.
That's awesome.
Let's go to Chase on the south side of the city. Hey, Chase, what's up, Cookie?
Good morning, Chase.
What up, Sparkles?
All good, man.
What's the word? Hello, Miss Miller.
Hello.
How are you doing this morning?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm okay.
What do you got?
But you know what, though? I was just thinking of something. You know, I know, remember, Tab, me and you've been back and forth about whether or not this team was going to, you know, how I said they were going to win 10, 11 games. Remember early in the season, we went back and forth about that. And, you know, I admit that I was wrong about that, and I took your word on that. So, you know, I know at the end of the day that the whole process of the season is that the development of quarterback, because I know a lot of people will agree, I would rather the team lose, like say they lose 45 to 41, fields throw 6 touchdowns, throw for 400 yards, than them winning 10 to 3, but fields had a quarterback rating of 20. You know, because at the end of the day, the quarterback development is the most important thing. I mean, I know we want to see this team win because the long-term success is more important right now compared to short-term stuff, because the quarterback position is the most important position on the team. And so getting back to the trade for – I know a lot of people felt like they gave up a lot to give up the receiver, but you got to think about this too. You know, they were already going to draft the receiver anyway. So you basically you take the bust factor out of it. And so you still got your second pick, and then you're going to – and then let's say they trade back, you're probably going to get that second pick again anyway. So you really didn't really lose anything. You actually kind of won that trade, if you ask me, at the end of the day. So, but you guys have a good morning, though. You guys take care.
You have a great day, man. We'll see how this whole thing unfolds. It'll be just a fun journey knowing you're not –
it's not always going to be fun.
See, and that's where I disagree.
Really?
Because, like, when you have a team that you think, like, if you're an Eagles fan,
yeah,
you're excited.
Yeah.
But you're also nervous, like, oh, God, what if we lose in the playoffs in the first round that
right.
we play? And then you look back and go, all that for nothing. We're not going to the playoffs.
Right.
I just want to watch Justin and see if Eddie continues to play well, and maybe Travis Gibson gets more opportunities or somebody else steps up. Oh, that guy actually, wow, Chase Claypool looks really good.
Yeah.
So that I know going into next year, we've got a few pieces.
I actually think being bad but fun is one of the best things you can have as a team in sports.
My point.
It's like if you're miserable bad, like the Bears were early in the year, it was horrible to watch and they were bad. That's not fun at all. If they're playing like good on offense, and they have been, you're putting up 30 points a game, Fields looks good, they're, you know, completing passes, Fields is making cool runs, that's fun. And even when they're losing, it's helping their draft position. It's actually a really fun thing to go through when you're fun and you expect to be bad, and you're bad anyway. At least the games are fun. It gets worse when you're, like, supposed to be good and you're bad. That's not fun. This is a rare spot where you can be bad and have fun watching the team.
Agreed. Totally
agree. I hope it's fun to watch. I'm worried that there will be still some growing pains with Justin. Still some things as he's adjusting.
Sure,
and that will not always be fun to watch.
There will be teams that are not going to let him have these designed runs. They're
going
to take some of that away.
Dave, he has to stop taking hits like that.
Dave,
I know that came out. Ooh, I didn't mean to. Cap, I'm sorry. He needs to stop taking so many hard hits, because my fear is that what won't be fun is if Trevor Siemian is starting. That won't be fun.
No, exactly. Justin got injured.
Yeah, that would not be fun. Right.
That
I don't want to see. I don't want that to happen. He needs to be on the field.
Completely agree. 312-332-3776. You'll hear Matt Eberflus and Justin Fields. And more of your calls, Andrew, and another Andrew, and a bunch more of you, 312-332-3776. 332-3776. Merkin's answering the calls. Shay's at the controls. Dion's in for Hoodie. I'm Cap. Be right back. It's one of the biggest sports betting events in the world. It's called the Breeders' Cup World Championship. It's Friday, Saturday, this weekend, featuring 14 stakes races with $28 million on the line. It's the best horses, the best jockeys, the best trainers going head-to-head in two incredible days of sports betting. And you can get in on all of the action with Club Hawthorne online or at one of 16 Illinois betting bars. For post times, reservations, in-depth race analysis, and betting strategies, go to betting.hawthornracecourse.com. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER to get help.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Hope you're having a really good start to your day. 312-332-3776.
That's a suit, huh?
That was a bad suit.
That was a bad suit. It was like plaid. Like, not Campbell like, plaid, but something like that.
Like big, huge plaid.
With yellow checks.
And it looked like they were curtains in like 19...
They actually look like Catholic school uniforms.
Yes.
That's what that looked like.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Those were that was a horrible outfit.
That was a... Yeah, he owned it though. He was real tall. You couldn't miss him, man.
He was strutting. He had
down
little like black boots with it. Yeah, it was a bad look, really bad look.
Oh,
anyway,
gosh.
I'm sure people watch some of my stuff and go.
Oh, I know. I get more messages like, "What are you wearing?" or "What's with that necklace?" or "What?"
Someone said to me, "Where did you get that jacket?" And the way they said it, and I went, "Didn't I tell you?" He's like, no. I'm like, then I guess it doesn't concern you.
Ooh.
Take that. That's it. I like it. That's all that matters.
Correct. That is all that matters.
Right.
Who cares what everybody else thinks about
right.
our clothes? So many more important things to think about in life.
There are.
That is not one of them.
Like, until social media, like, would you ever have walked up to someone unless you cared about them? Like, you and I are really tight now.
Yeah.
If I said to you, Dion, that jacket was not good for TV. I would tell you because I care about
it. Oh, right.
You. And I would hope
and
you'd
I would
say
take
to
it
me,
that way. Cap, thank you for telling me.
Cap, who did your makeup on TV? It was not done right. It looked bad. Because you know.
Yes.
I would be like, thank you for being my friend.
Yes.
But before
but
social
strangers telling me how to dress or.
Your suit is awful. Great. Then you shouldn't buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Andrew's in Elgin. Andrew, what's up there, buddy?
Hey there, Cookie. I just wanted to say, first of all, I gave Yurko a compliment the other day, and I'd like to give you one, too, sir. I think you are the toughest, badass guy there is in the radio industry in Chicago. So, way to go,
wow.
bud.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, appreciate
you're
you.
Pretty awesome, tough guy. I just wanted to say, Mr. Kaplan, that I wanted to ask you, I'm really encouraged, you know, with what Ryan Poles has been doing, because I have never lived in this lifetime where I feel so confidently in a general manager that is not afraid to dump some talented defenders and pieces away to make the team better in the future. Because historically in this city, everybody hangs on to the old man and we always go down and, you know, never do anything offensively. So we're trending in the right direction. I'm seriously pumped up about it. Watching Jay Fields is electrifying. I hope he does stay healthy. That is my biggest concern. But what I wanted to ask you is, clearly, the defense is pretty booty right now, and it's going to be booty for a while. But in the offseason, we have money. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, what do you think is – I mean, I feel confident that we're going to get offensive pieces, but what do you think they're going to do with the defense to get it back on track, you know, when we have all the offensive pieces in place? And I just wanted you to answer that question. What do you think they're going to do in free agency with the defense and everything like that? You guys have a great day. Go Bears!
Go Bears.
Too,
appreciate
Andrew.
You, Andrew. I think – if he doesn't trade back in the first round, he's going to simply take the best player on the board. If that's an edge rusher, that's a D tackle, he'll take him.
What did we all say before his first draft? Oh, wide receiver, offensive line. That's the direction he's going. That he did neither of those things. So I feel like you're right. He's going to have his draft board set. He's clearly doing his homework. He knows what he's looking for. He's going to have the draft board set. He's going to take whichever is the best available at that moment.
Correct.
Which is what he should do.
Correct.
Because they have so many needs across the board.
Correct. He when he was on with me and with Hoodie,
yeah.
This is, I don't know, must be July before training camp started. Yeah. We talked about the draft board, and he said, would you rather, this was polls, would you rather I had taken an offensive lineman or a receiver that I had rated a little bit lower, still good player, and then 3 years from now, Jaquan Brisker's a pro bowler or an all pro for someone else, and go, we had him at the top of our board, and because we had to fit a need, we got an okay player, but not that guy.
Yeah.
He goes, I take the best guy on the board, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I like that.
I do, too.
So,
I
we'll
do
see.
Too.
312-332-3776. We'll get back to your calls in a minute. Here is Matt Eberflus when he was asked, did you consider Roquan in Indy if Quentin Nelson, who you took just ahead of him, two picks, was off the board?
At five?
He went a couple picks later, yeah.
It was five. He was 11, right?
Eight.
Okay, yeah. I don't think that we, at that time, Ballard was in the business of taking an off-the-ball linebacker at eight. I don't think I could convince him of that.
Well, that's pretty telling.
Yeah, it is.
We were not taking Roquan Smith. Mm-mm. And then he was asked, why was Roquan not valued like Shaquille Leonard is down in Indy?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Pro Bowl, All Pro. But I would say that when you look at that, I would just say that we always base things on numbers and production. You know, and to us, we covet ball production, you know, in that position. So that right there is a very important thing that Will Linebacker needs to do. So, again, we loved Roquan. We made him an offer, and they couldn't find common ground, and that's where it went.
And why didn't you want him here long term?
Well, I think Ryan said it yesterday. They just couldn't find common ground. You know, it was really the contract negotiations. Did we want him back? Sure. Yeah, we did. We made an offer to him. So it was just a common ground thing that the Bears and the Ryan and the Roquan couldn't come to. And so the answer is we did want him back.
There you go.
They did.
Kind of.
I think that the writing was on the wall back in training camp, back right before Family Fest when he requested a trade and put that out there and the way that Roquan handled and negotiated for himself. That is a different approach.
I personally believe that is dumb.
I agree. He's 25 years old. Like, his brain isn't fully developed. He has no business trying to negotiate a contract that he wants, like the money he truly wants. And then to hear them say what Eberflus said to us. Correct. About who he is and what Roquan, we value production. Well, he wasn't giving them what they want.
And he doesn't need to hear that.
No!
You have somebody walk in, they argue with Ryan, they could scream at each other, you're screwing my guy. And in the end, he walks out and goes, okay, here's what I got.
Right. Because an agent doesn't have that emotional attachment that
they
a 25-year-old does.
They filter everything.
Right. Right.
Right?
That's. Well, now we'll see what he does with the Ravens.
Andrew's out on Lakeshore Drive. Andrew, what's going on LSD, man?
Good morning. Well, out of it now, thankfully. But so just wanted to call in. I'm kind of two minds here. You know, I think we really needed somebody with fresh eyes to come in and sort of clear out some of these players who I think were just sort of becoming dead weight. But I do really get concerned because I feel like in the NFL especially, there's just a notoriously low return on investment with free agents. Not to put either of you on the spot, but can you think of anybody really since Peyton Manning signed with the Broncos who was a high return free agent and at any position in the NFL? And not to, then, you know, so you then sort of look at receivers and, you know, I feel like, you know, these big name alpha dog wide receivers are never on Super Bowl winning teams. You know, your Julio Jones or, you know, Devontae Adams or DeAndre Hopkins. You know, these guys are never on these winning teams.
Tyreek Hill.
I guess I'm just a... Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, of course, is a great exception to that. I would say that prior to him, you're probably looking back to, you know, Jerry Rice before you really had one of these receivers on a Super Bowl winning
Odell
team.
Odell Beckham Jr.?
Okay, now he was a rental player.
Cooper Kupp?
I don't know if Cooper Kupp, I feel like he sort of slid in under the radar and became one of these great possession receivers who I think turned into something more.
Lynn Swann? I can keep
Lynn
going.
Lynn Swann was a
Lynn, Lynn, did you say Lynn Swann?
Lynn Swann was an amazing player.
That was 50 years ago. I mean, I'm talking about
You off the top of my head. I can go back through the list of Super Bowl winners, and you don't win Super Bowls without having really, really amazing players at every level.
You need great receivers. I'm not disputing that. But I'm saying that when you pay for these high price, like big personality, big drawing a lot of attention sort of receivers, it's very rare that they are on Super Bowl winning teams. But that's sort of a separate conversation. I'm concerned also just generally what we're going to do with this money because, again, free agents in general, I'm struggling to think of somebody before Peyton Manning who the last great signing who turned out great. Now, it was just like a high-profile signing, but somebody who actually played to that contract. Anyway, very much for the time.
That's a legitimate point. That most teams do not let A-level amazing player. Julius Peppers signed with the Bears.
Yeah.
He was an outstanding player.
He was.
Carolina couldn't fit him in the cap. Mm-mm. For whatever reason. They moved on. He came here. And then he played really well for Green Bay for a while, mm-hmm. but he was at the end of his time. The late Reggie White. Now you're going back 20 years. But he... Yurko talked about what he meant in that room and to that community because black players were not flocking to Green Bay. And he said, here is what I need.
And I loved him.
And they wanted to make him comfortable. And the whole vibe up there changed. Mm-hmm. Yurko's talked about it. What an amazing guy he was.
Yeah.
So, anyway, 312-332-3776. Justin Fields was asked, and you were there. Does trading Roquan and Quinn feel like the Bears are waving the white flag?
Nobody, you know, has that mindset on our team. You know, everybody on the team, including the coaches, we want to win games. We want to win every game. So, nobody's waving the white flag. We're all attacking each day, you know, trying to be better, trying to, you know, improve each and every day. So, just guys on the defensive side of the ball, they're going to have to step up. And, you know, leadership's going to have to step up over there. So, we all talked about it. You know, we all went through it, texted Roquan and, you know, just told him, you know, thank you for being the teammate he was, me being the brother he was to me and to everybody else. So, of course, that was a big loss to us. But, you know, we have the leaders on this team and the players on this team to step up.
Yeah. And that's what a leader says.
Yes. And, you know, that leadership council, there's like, I want to say 13 of them or so that are on it. Cole Kmet is a part of it. At least it sounded like it yesterday. He didn't really want to like name names, everybody who's there. But I think it's important because those are some big voices that they took out of that locker room, some good energy leaders on and off the field, and they're gone now. And now what does that say about the direction of the team? Well, the front office knows. Do the players that are still in uniform know? And now, yeah, they do. And now it's on everybody to kind of put their emotions aside and move on. But second straight week, they're dealing with the emotional loss of a leader like that.
My friend Ryan McGuffey texted me and said Tyreek Hill was a trade. Now, he's in Miami. I'm talking about the Tyreek Hill on the Super Bowl champion in Kansas City.
Yeah.
He was a later round draft pick. Stephon Diggs, if Buffalo wins it, that was a trade acquisition from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brian in Lamont has a couple of names. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Cap. I got Terrell Owens from the Philadelphia Eagles to the Dallas Cowboys. I got Randy Moss from the Raiders at the time to the record-setting New England Patriots.
Yeah, now he was a trade. I believe Randy was traded for a fourth-round pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're correct. But I'm just saying, they're Terrell Owens. I'm positive on that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think you do need these players, like you're saying, Cap.
You absolutely do, and that's why I'm not telling you and appreciate your call. I'm not telling you Miami's winning the Super Bowl. But Miami's loaded.
Loaded. Financially and right. talent-wise.
And Tua talked that we're talking in the locker room about trying to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like they believe they can do it.
They're making moves to do so.
What are their odds? I wonder. We'll have to look that up at the break. Also, we have more cheating in sports.
I'm hearing this. This article bothers me so much.
My God. That we've got more cheating scandal. It's insane. That and more of your calls next.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
We've got the Astros now locked up 2-2 in the World Series. And, of course, their last World Series, they didn't really win. They cheated.
Right. But
now, no allegations anymore. They're good, and they got a great team.
Well, Martin Maldonado did get in a little bit of trouble.
What did he do?
Albert Pujols sent him a You didn't see this?
Oh yes. The bat's I do remember that,
That was nothing. Albert Pujols uses the bat in a game. He sends it to Martin Maldonado, and they said, no, only Pujols could use that. He was grandfathered in with whatever the deal was with the bat. That's not cheating.
No wonder he hit all those home runs this year.
Yeah, exactly. That's not cheating.
Not blatantly cheating.
No. But do you play bags or cornhole?
I don't like calling it either of those things, but I have.
What do you call it?
That's what we do call it, cornhole, but just like what a wretched name.
We call it bags.
What's the difference between people who call it cornhole and people who call it bags? I thought there was like a location thing there.
Maybe. I don't know.
I grew up calling it cornhole, but I've heard bags. I've just never said that.
Yeah, we've always called it bags. And we have my son, Nick, for a gift for me.
Yeah.
He made me my own bags set.
Yeah.
It says it has a shark on it because I got a shark tattoo.
Yeah.
It says, take that. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so he made those, and we have them, and we play bags with it.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah.
Well, so the national, hold on, let me get the term right. It was the
2022. The fact that we have a national cornhole championship.
2022 American Cornhole League World Championships back in August. Apparently now, they are saying that Mark Richards and Philip Lopez, who were the top-ranked team, were using illegal bags.
So what made them illegal?
So the bags were too thin. Officials gathered to inspect their beanbags and confirmed that they were, in fact, not regulation. They're too small, ESPN cornhole color commentator Mark Pryor remarked. Not the guy that pitched for the Cubs, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
That's going to create some drama.
Gosh.
The bags were found to not be compliant on either side. According to the regulations, the bags must be 6 by 6 inches when laid flat and weigh exactly 16 ounces. Minor variations are tolerated, but they ended up having, because these were thinner, lighter and thinner bags are advantageous. Players have been known to boil the bag or wash them with vinegar to make them more pliable so they don't hit the board and skid off.
Dear Lord Almighty.
I'm going to have to do that so I can win all the family competitions.
Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody you're doing it.
Nate Voyer, what a name. I am a Voyer. Cornhole professional told the Journal, Voyer chooses to wash his bag with a little fabric softener and then let it air dry.
Oh, my God.
It hits the board and it sticks better.
Oh, my gosh. What is wrong with our world?
How about that?
That's insane.
Snorling. Didn't we have the fishing competition, the National Fishing Championship?
Where they were weighting the fish?
Well, I brought up little weights in?
I brought up all the headlines because I want to know what the hell is going on in our, like, ESPN Ocho sports land.
Thank you. Thank you. I was thinking that same thing.
So we have today, Baggate cheating scandal rocks professional cornhole world. Then we have, from a month ago today, cheating scandal at Ohio tournament rocks competitive fishing world. And then we also have, from about a month ago, cheating scandal rocks Irish dancing as ex-Riverdance star makes Sopranos comparison. What the hell is going on with ESPN 8 Ocho sports?
These third world sports, they are getting rocked.
I don't
care.
Their
worlds are rocked. That is so funny.
And we had the guy, remember the guy who was putting the vibrating chess piece up as you know what?
They didn't prove
pardon
that.
Pardon me?
So the guy was playing.
Excuse me? No. What did you just say?
The guy was playing for the World Chess Championship, right?
Yes.
And it was a young player, like a younger guy. Like, he was super young, wasn't he?
I think he was 20, yeah. He was he's playing one of the greats.
You know, this version's Bobby Fischer, like, okay. Or Boris Spassky. Those were the two big names back in the day. And the, like, number one ranked older guy was losing to this other guy, and he's like, there's no way. And he accused him of having vibrating anal beads, and that someone was signaling him by the vibrations inside of him of to make. Yes!
What?
Yes!
What?
Yes!
Insane.
Shay, tell her I'm not making this up.
That was the accusation, yes. There was no proof that it was true.
I don't even want to say that, vibrating.
That was, you don't need to.
I don't want to say that. That's awful.
I hear they're fun, but anyway.
No. No. That's going to be a real quick no.
There you
go. I'm disturbed.
Black's telling me there's a poker one.
What?
What's the poker one? Another cheating scandal? The poker world's been rocked?
Oh, right. Yeah, at the poker tournament, there was a woman, and she would jiggle, and then it would, like, tell whether the next card, whether you had the better hand or not. So we now have cheating scandals in competitive chess, competitive poker,
fishing,
competitive fishing,
bags,
river dance, and cornhole.
How do you cheat in river dance?
Yeah, how do you cheat in river dance, Snorling?
So the judges were being paid off with either money or other types of favors. I'll let your imagination do the work there. But it was either the river dancer or the river dancer's parents were essentially bribing the judges. And some of these girls came out and they said it was actually, like, scary to get in league with the judge and, like, do the bribe, because then basically your life in Riverdance is indebted to that judge. They compared it to being in The Sopranos. It was, like, mafia style, going to these Riverdance judges so that you could win competitions.
For Irish jig dancing?
Correct.
Compared to The Sopranos? Oh, my goodness.
It's insane.
What? What?
It's literally insane.
I thought competitive cheer was a weird world. Good heavens.
Isn't that the one where they do, like, the movies on, like, the, I don't even know the name of the networks.
Like, what, TLC and Lifetime?
Yes.
Yeah, Lifetime does a lot of those movies.
Yeah.
I've watched TLC. Them.
This mother murdered two other cheerleaders.
I will say.
So her daughter could win the cheerleading competition. Yeah.
I will say that the moms at Park Ridge Competitive Cheer are not normal cheer moms. Like, we actually say that to each other. Like, we're not, like, normal. But there are some. I mean, like, you know, you can tell when you go to these competitions.
I went to watch Danny's kid play in the Little League Championships.
Yeah.
And they have a great team, and they won, and it's awesome. I'm walking out of there a few weeks earlier. I had gone to speak to his team.
Yeah.
There's older kids. Danny's team was 9U, I believe. I don't know. These must have been 11 or 12-year-olds. And the umpire, I stopped to watch just for a second, and the umpire, he missed a call. I mean, two of the fathers go, let's just go on the field and confront this dude. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yes.
Yes. And you have an older umpire walking by, and he goes, knock it off. I don't want to hear any more. He's a kid. And there literally was going to be a fist fight in a Little League game.
It's insane. It's insane.
Insane.
Stop living vicariously through your children.
Yeah. And I was really impressed with the head coach of Danny's team, mm-hmm. because when I was there, the umpire was a younger kid. He was probably 16.
Oh.
He wasn't real forceful, and you could hear parents grumbling. And the head coach of Danny's team came right in front of us, and he said, I don't want to hear another word. That's a young man trying to do a job. It's Little League. Knock it off. Quiet down right now. And all these parents were like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like this dude.
Yeah. Well, my 11-year-old is a hockey referee for, like, little midgets. Mm-hmm. If I, the mites or whatever they're called, if I hear one parent ever say anything to them, you will not be ready for the wrath of Lady
Dion. There you go. Lady D. Lady Dion. All right. 312-332-3776. Black and Abdallah in at 10. Sox press conference live here on ESPN 1000, home of the White Sox at 11. Carmen York 12-2. Don't forget Bourbon and Bacon tonight. And you can make a donation at cffbourbonandbacon.com. It's at Benny's in Lincoln Park. Be right back.
Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Bears. What's going on today in the animal kingdom? Chimps throwing feces? Wild boars snacking on faces? Cougar on the loose?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some horny mammals humping? Let's find out together. Animal Stories on Cap and Jay on ESPN 1000.
Right, we always look or get from our fine listeners. You can send them to us on social media. But Snorling usually finds some really good animal stories. I saw one while I was on the air the other day, and I told Shay we were going upstairs to record commercials after the show. Hey, man, you got to find this story. It's bizarre, but it's cool.
Okay.
I think he found it. Shay.
What would you do if you woke up in the middle of the night and a dog was cuddling in your bed, but it wasn't your dog?
Like, am I watching my kid's dog, or just a strange dog showed up in my
just
bed?
Showed
a
up
strange
in my bed.
Dog just showed up in your bed and is 100% content being there and is cuddling you.
And it's like a friendly dog.
Yeah.
Wow.
That would be weird.
I would wonder how it got
in. How it got in. Where it's been.
Yeah. Has it got a tag on it? Is it somebody else's dog? Did one of my kids don't live at home anymore. So did my wife let a strange animal that was roaming the street into the house and forget to tell me, or I was already asleep?
It's a family in Tennessee. The quote is from the wife, Julie. "You could see light coming into our curtains in our bedroom, and I feel my husband not just roll over, but kind of started, like almost a jump, and it woke me up. And in a quiet but stern voice, he said, 'Julie, whose dog is this?'"
That's awesome.
She said, "My husband just went to kind of pull the blankets up a little bit, almost like they were going to protect him. And at that point, the dog got even further up on our pillows, snuggled in, and was just 100% content being there. Just walked in the door."
That's so funny. Did they find out where the dog came from or why? Any of those news? That part of the news?
I believe they posted it, a picture of it on Facebook in like their community group.
How
and it was a family a few blocks away had their dog get out, go into this home, and I guess it was the only open door, and they get into the home and just wanted to sleep with this family. So they put the picture up on Facebook, and the family who actually owned the dog reached out and said thank you and took the dog back.
That's very funny.
That is awesome. And so they were going to keep the dog, right, if no one had claimed it.
Right, if they didn't see anybody claim it, they were 100% prepared to keep it because it was happy being there. It wanted to just cuddle in the bed.
So I've got three dogs.
Yes, I know. They sleep in your bed.
Yeah, Sparky, because he's a Siberian Husky, he jumps down. He gets warm.
Mm-hmm.
So he likes it on the floor in the bathroom where it's cool.
Yeah.
But when I get up at like 4:15, I get up. I always rub the head of each dog.
Yeah.
Say, "Hey, good morning. Make sure you're okay." And Sparky's always in the bathroom. I give him his little, "Hey, buddy, love you." Turn the shower on, and I look, and he gets up and goes in my spot.
Of course. Oh,
every
I get up
every day.
I get up to use the restroom in the middle of the night, and I come back, and Boomer is on my pillow, like he owns the bed now.
Right. It's the greatest.
Oh, I love my dog so much. He's
so
the best.
I've got Stanley and Yoshi always in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sparky starts there, goes down the floor in the bathroom, and comes back into the bedroom and jumps back up.
Before I had a dog, I always said, I'll never sleep with a dog in the bed.
Greatest.
Oh, it's the greatest. He's the best snuggler. It's awesome.
The best. How much does your dog weigh?
Like 22 pounds.
Yeah, well, mine weigh 80, 70, and like 55.
Oh, my gosh. That's like two extra people in your
bed.
Yes,
that's correct. I'll see my wife, and she's like splayed
Where
out with a leg
at?
Here and a leg
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
It's crazy. I'll be hanging off, but it's awesome. Time for the Cap'n Jay Hood Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Try the lobster escargot, their top-selling appetizer, and the Newski bacon. Amazing. Get the burger for lunch. Here's the cut of the day.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Hey, pick and choose which offerings to highlight. That's what they tell you right here in this spot.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Hold on a second.
Wait a minute.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
I want you to bring that whole thing back because you're a jackass. I did that intentionally. I said,
oh, okay, they want me to pick and choose. Guess what I'm going to choose this time? I did it intentionally this time. You're a jackass.
Do you know the one time they had me do the read? I did that too. I read it too.
I've done that before by mistake. Today, though, was not by mistake. I did it intentionally because I think it's the most poorly written spot we get.
Hey, pick and choose which offerings to highlight. That's what they tell you right here in this spot.
Yeah.
It's not in the system right now.
That's what they tell you.
I really, exactly. the best part of it, Cap, is the A at the beginning. That's the part that really gets me in a good mood.
All those boys giggling back there like school children.
Whoever writes the spot, I did it perfect. Khan got me once, and he was right. I effed up. This one, I did it intentionally. Call attention to whoever in the copy department. You need to go back to college because it's a horribly written spot. So I called attention to it.
You did. That's right.
So fix take it. That, Shay.
So fix it. Oh, my
jerk.
God. 3-1-2. It's okay. I did it, too.
312-332. I think Carmen ended up doing it himself one day. 312-332-3776. Put that in your phone. Black and Abdallah are next. Have a great rest of your day.
Oh, you're the best, Cap. Thanks.
You too. Awesome great having day. You here. The boys are next. Take that from Chicago.